Well, it's my great privilege to begin to open God's word to you.
这是我的荣幸啊，可以把神的话解开给大家。
We have been speaking in the last few weeks and have covered some distinctions concerning the Holy Spirit.
那我们过去几周呢，一直在讨论关于圣灵的一些真理。
When we come to study the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we find that there's several very important distinctions that we have to make.
那我们讲到了几个特别的关于圣灵真理里的教义里的很几个特别的地方。
We've seen that there's a difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the filling of the Holy Spirit.
那我们讲到了圣灵的内住、圣灵的洗和圣灵充满。
Now, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit happens as soon as a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ.
那圣灵的内住呢？发生在一个人接受基督成为自己救主的那一刻呢，圣灵就住进来了。
They are born again by the Spirit of God, and He indwells each believer.
他们借着圣灵呢，重生了，那圣灵也住在每一个信徒的里面。
Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19,Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you?
保罗在哥林多前书六章十九节，你们岂不知你们的身子就是圣灵的殿吗？
If someone does not have the Spirit of God indwelling them, they are not a Christian.
如果有人没有圣灵住在里面呢，其实他就不是一个基督徒了。
And once the Spirit of God comes into the believer, he never leaves.
当一个圣灵，当圣灵住到一个基督徒里面，他就再也不离开了。
Now, how do we know that he indwells us?
我们怎么知道他住在我们里面呢？
We know it because the Word of God says so.
Amen.
我们相信是因为圣经就是这么说的，神的话就是这样。
And as time goes on, we know it by the changes in our lives.
随着时间推移呢，我们可以在我们生命的改变里呢，看到外显的迹象。
Little by little, the Spirit of God indwelling produces in us the person of the Lord Jesus.
因为内住的圣灵随着时间的推移呢，能使我们活出基督的样式，一点一点。
Now, the indwelling isn't a matter of feelings, although sometimes emotions may be involved.
那内住呢，不是靠着感觉来证明的，虽然有的时候它会给我们一些情感上的变化。
We trust that when we receive Jesus, we also receive the Holy Spirit.
我们信靠耶稣基督的那一刻呢，也接受了圣灵。
And we're never told to pray for the indwelling of the Spirit of God, or to wait for it for some reason.
祷告求圣灵住进来，或者等候圣灵住进来，这都不是出于圣经的教导。
So in the baptism of the Spirit, that we must distinguish that also from the indwelling of the Spirit.
那圣灵的洗呢，我们要把它从圣灵内住呢，区别开来。
The baptism of the Spirit of God took place on the day of Pentecost.
那圣灵的洗，是发生在五旬节的那一刻。
And a body was formed on that day, which is called the body of Christ.
那一天呢，有一个教会的身体在那一天形成了。或者说呢，叫基督的身体。
And the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you are placed into that body.
你信的那一刻呢，你就被放到了这个身体里去。
The body does not need to be rebaptized.
那这个身体不需要再重洗一遍。
And the text we looked at was 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13.
哥林多前书十二章的十三节。
For by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit.
我们不拘是犹太人，是希腊人，是为奴的，是自主的。都从一位圣灵受洗，成了一个身体，隐于一位圣灵。
So you and I, the moment we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we enter into that body that was baptized on the day of Pentecost.
你我信靠耶稣基督的那一刻，我们就进到了那个身体，而这个身体是在耶稣离开地上之后的那个五旬节，圣灵降下来一起。洗的受洗时的那一次。
Now, no one is, in Scripture is ever commanded to be baptized by the Spirit or to seek the baptism of the Spirit.
同样道理呢，圣经也从来没有教导我们，命令我们去接受圣灵的洗，也不要让我，也没有教导我们去寻求圣灵的洗。
The third distinction is the filling of the Spirit.
第三个区别的点呢？概念就是圣灵充满。
And this is different.
这个和前两个点也有区别。
Different from the baptism of the Spirit.
和圣灵的洗有区别。
The baptism of the Spirit is when God, the Holy Spirit, the baptizer was the Lord Jesus,And he formed that body on that day of Pentecost once and for all.
那施洗者是耶稣，他成立了教会，也就是在五旬节的那一天，使整个教会在圣灵中施洗，教会建立。
Now there's sometimes confusion because when the disciples On the day of Pentecost, were baptized into one spirit, they were also filled with the spirit simultaneously.
那之所以会令人产生混淆呢，是因为在那一天，教会受洗的五旬节的那一天，同时门徒们也圣灵充满了。
And the filling of the spirit is different from the indwelling of the spirit.
同时呢，圣灵充满也和圣灵内住不是一回事。
We looked at the filling of the Spirit as allowing the indwelling Spirit to have full control of every area of our lives.
那圣灵充满呢，其实是使已经内住在我们里面的圣灵，在我生命中的所有方面掌权。
This is not some kind of exterior baptism that comes from outside the body.But it's allowing the indwelling spirit who is there by the second birth to have his complete control of our lives.
所以这不是一个寻求外在受洗的证据的这么一个形式。那圣灵充满是已经让那住在我里面的圣灵，在我信的那一刻住在我里面的圣灵呢，在我之后的生命里掌权。那样的一个掌权的就是那一刻呢，就是圣灵充满的时刻。
And so, it's a command. That's God's will for us, is that we be filled with the Spirit.
所以圣灵充满是神对我们的愿望，其实也是一个命令。那我们要被圣灵充满。
And as we looked at the verb.The verb is in the middle voice, which means you could interpret it, allow yourselves to be filled with the Spirit, because God wants to fill us. It's our our resistance to that spirit coming into every area of our lives that stops us from being filled with the Spirit.
那从动词的形态上看呢，我们知道神是愿意或者说盼望我们被圣灵充满。那这就说明呢，这个拦阻不在于神，而在于我们自己的肉体。当我们得救之后呢，我们不愿意把主权交给神，所以以至于呢，神不能够时时使圣灵充满我们。
And also, the verb would imply that we must continually be filled with the Spirit.
那同样的，这个动词的形态呢，也告诉我们，我们要持续的被圣灵充满，这是一个进行的状态。
This is not some singular crisis that takes place at some part in our lives, but it should be continual to allow the Spirit of God to take control of our lives.
所以这个不是一个单次的发生过就结束的事件啊，在我们生命里，而是一个不断的神要我们去进到的状态啊，叫圣灵充满。
So those are three important distinctions: the indwelling, the baptism, and the filling of the Spirit.
那这是一个三个重要的概念，我们在过去几周解决的解释的，一个就是圣灵的内住，一个就是圣灵的洗，一个就是圣灵的充满。
Now last week we said we might take a look at the gift of tongues.
那上一周我们讲到了呢，我们要开始学习关于方言的内容。
Now the reason why is that some teach that the gift of tongues is the evidence of a spirit-filled life.
那原因呢，就是很多的误解会这么教导，说圣灵有说方言呢是有圣灵充满的一个证据。
Or it's the evidence of some kind of second blessing or another step beyond ordinary Christianity.
甚至还有教导说这是第二次的被祝福，如果人能说方言。甚至在一个基督徒的生命里呢，它是一个新的高度或者阶段。
Sometimes it's called the baptism of the Spirit, and the evidence of that is that people speak in tongues.
比方说有会让人呢去寻求圣灵的洗，那如果这个人能说方言，就证明他得着了圣灵的洗啊，这都是诸多的教导之一啊。
So tonight I'd like to look at the question, is the gift of tongues evidence of a spirit-filled life?
我们先解决第一个问题啊，那是不是说方言是一个圣灵充满的证据呢？
Turn with me to Mark chapter 16.
我们来看马可的十六章。
And as you're turning there, we want to look at the tongues in three points tonight.
今天呢，我们要先看这个方言的三个点。
First, we want to look at the promise of tongues and what it means and their purpose.
第一呢，我们要看关于方言的应许。然后它的目的是什么？它的意义是什么？
Then we want to look at the places where the scriptures talk about the tongues as they were given.
然后呢，我们来看圣经里讲到方言，提到它给出来的这些例子。
Then we want to talk about the misuse of tongues.
然后呢，我们再看方言误用的例子。
Okay, turn to Mark chapter 16.
我们看马可十六章。
And we'll read from verse 15.
从十五节开始。
This is the great commission that we read in Mark's gospel.
这是一个大使命，从马可的福音角度来记述的。
And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
马可福音16章15节，他又对他们说，你们往普天下去传福音给万民听，信而受洗的必然得救，不信的必被定罪，信的人必有神迹随着他们，就是奉我的名赶鬼，说新方言，手能拿蛇，若喝了什么毒物也必不受害，手按病人，病人就必好了。
Now notice that they are signs.
注意这一切都是神迹。
Verse 17, he says, these signs will follow those who believe.
17节一开始总结得很清楚，信的人必有神迹随着他们。
And as we go along in our study, those signs, once they have fulfilled their purpose, they no longer are in operation.
所以随着我们的学习，我们往下看呢，会看见，当这些神迹啊完成了他们的目的之后啊，他们就不再再反复出现了。
Once you see what the sign is and its purpose, it then doesn't have any more value, does it? There's no need for it.
因为当神迹的作用达到了之后呢，其实它的价值就没有了，也不需要了。
You're driving your car and you come to a stop sign. You stop your car and therefore the sign has fulfilled its purpose.
所以你来到一个开车来到一个停牌前面的，你停下来，你看见这个停牌，这停牌的作用就已经达到了。
And then you proceed on your way.
然后呢，你就继续往前行了。
So that's the first thing we must get an idea what the scriptures say. It's a sign.
所以我们首先要知道呢，圣经讲到方言的时候，它是把它放在神迹的一系列的之一，它是一个神迹。
Now, let's take a look at the nature of this sign. What were tongues? We're going to focus on tongues. We'll have opportunity when we talk later aboutsigns and wonders and the various gifts to go over the other signs as well. But tonight, we're going to look at the gift of tongues because it's related to, what people think is the filling of the Spirit.
那今晚呢，我们主要讲的是关于说方言这个神迹，因为这个会是大家常普遍认为是圣灵充满的一个证据。所以其他还会有一些神迹奇事呢，我们以后有时间再慢慢分享。
So first we'd like to answer the question, what was this sign? It says tongues, but what does the mean, that word tongue?
所以我们先看一下这个方言啊，这个神迹到底是什么意义。
Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please.
哥林多前书15章。
And
Verse 6.
We're going to read from down to verse 10.
会读到第十节。
But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, or by teaching?Even things without life, whether a flute or a harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken?For you'll be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance.
林前六节，弟兄们，我到你们那里去，若只说方言，不用启示或知识或预言或教训给你们讲解，我与你们有什么益处呢？就是那有声无气的物或箫或琴，若发出来的声音没有分别，怎能知道所吹所弹的是什么呢？若吹无定的号声，谁能预备打仗呢？你们也是如此，舌头若不说容易明白的话，怎能知道所说的是什么呢？这就是向空说话的，世上的声音或者很多，却没有一样是无意义的。
So the gift of tongues is a gift of real languages.
所以一颗方言的启示是一个真正真实的语言啊，方言是一门真实的语言。
It's not some kind of gibberish or unintelligible language with no basis, no linguistic basis.
所以它不是一个没有语言背景清晰语言的一个舌音或者反复的嘴巴发出的一种声音，它是一种清楚的语言，有语法的。
Now the modern tongues movement, I have heard people speak in tongues, so-called tongues, but they're not speaking in a language. They're not speaking in a scriptural tongue.
那我在近现代呢，我也看见有这么一个方言的运动啊，我也听过这些人在讲方言，但我没有听见任何人讲真正的一门别人不能懂的语言啊，就都是嘴巴发出来的声音而已。
Now the first time I ever heard somebody speak in tongues was before I was a Christian.
我第一次听到有人这么说方言呢，其实我那时候还没有成为基督徒，还没有得救。
I heard a blaspheming man under the influence of drugs. He was a poet, and he was playing a drum, and he was speaking in tongues.
那我看见的是一个吃了药啊，应该是吸了毒的人。那他呢，他是一个诗人啊，那他在敲鼓，那个时候呢，他在说很多亵渎的话，那时候他就在讲方言了。
It's a phenomenon that has been witnessed around the world in many pagan countries where witch doctors and people under the influence of drugs and other things, they speak in what the modern tongues movement calls this gift of tongues.
那这些所谓的方言呢，都你会看见在其他的一些情形下也有啊，比方说一些异教的巫师啊，或者通灵的，或者他吸了毒啊，然后他们所说的这个话和今天讲的方言运动所讲的那个话是非常近似的。
So this is the modern so-called gift of tongues is not the scriptural tongue.
所以今天现代这种方言运动所说的这些方言完全不是圣经里记载的这个方言。
Turn to Acts chapter 2.
我们来看《使徒行传》的二章。
Acts chapter 2 and verse 8.
二章的第八节。
Now, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples, it says in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
使徒行传二章的第四节，他们也就是门徒们就被圣灵充满，按着圣灵所赐的口才说起别国的话来。这个原文其实就是方言。
Now there were people from at least 14 different nations in Jerusalem that day, and they heard the disciples as they, one after the other, began to speak in tongues. They heard the disciples who were unlearned Galileans, they spoke in their dialects and tongues from their own nation. Verse 8.
从第八节开始往后，一共应该有十八个地方来的人呢。那他们这些人突然听到那门徒这一群加利利来的没有受过教育的一群人呢，开始说起这不同的十几个地方来的这个当地的地方话和方言，一门语言。
How is it, they said, that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?
所以十一节的后半段他说他听见我们用我们的乡谈说话，他说这个是是第八节说我们个人怎么听见他说我们生来所用的乡谈呢。
Now, we're going to look at this, the purpose of the gift, but if the gift of tongues were for today,Then you would think when a missionary went to a foreign land, that would be the gift that they would need in order to preach the gospel in that foreign land. Instead, they have to sit down and study that language as anyone else would.
所以这就证明了如果今天方言依然是神要赐给我们的话呢，那这样的跑去外邦地传福音的一个传教士呢，他一到当地最需要的一个恩赐应该就是我们所看见的使徒行传这里方言的恩赐，他就应该当场能说这块地方人说的话。但恰恰相反，我们看见今天去世界各地传教的传教士一到一个地方，第一件事就是坐下来耐心学习当地的地方话。
I heard one missionary say thatThere was a man that came to India where he was, a missionary, who said that he had the gift of tongues. But they had to send him back to America because he couldn't learn the language.
我们听见有人在说印度有个人能说方言哈，但其实呢他不会啊，但因为他还得把他送回到美国去，因为他不会学习这门语言。
So, speaking in some type of gibberish, is no sign, because nobody knows what they're saying. That is not a sign at all. They'll think he's crazy.
那如果一个人只是说一些嘴巴里的舌音啊，就是快速的一些音节呢？这根本不是一个语言啊，那别人会觉得这他这个疯了啊。
So, what was the purpose then for this gift of tongues?
所以这个方言的恩赐到底目的是什么呢？
Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
好，我们再来看哥林多前书的一章。
1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22.
22节。
For the Jews, they request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom.
犹太人是要神迹，希腊人是求智慧。
The Jew was instructed to look for certain signs that were predicted in the Old Testament, that were prophesied.
那犹太人一直在寻求啊，在旧约里预言的那一系列神迹啊，这是犹太人的一个传统。
And when John the Baptist came, when the Lord Jesus came, they fulfilled prophecy by showing the signs thatThey were given to prove that they had come from God.
无论施洗约翰还是主耶稣来，他们都显明了那一系列在旧约预言里要显明的神迹啊，来证明他们就是那神所差来的。
For example, turn Turn to John chapter 3.
比方说, and, 约翰福音三章,
John chapter 3 and verse 1.
第一节, 约翰福音三章一节,
there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know, we, that is, the teachers of the nation, of which he was one, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.
有一个法利赛人名叫尼哥底母，是犹太人的官，这人夜里来见耶稣，说， 拉比，我们知道你是由神那里来做师傅的，因为你所行的神迹，若没有神同在，无人能行。So
these signs were the Jews' expected signs.
所以这些神迹呢，也正是犹太人所希望的神迹。
Because those prophecies, the prophetic signs.
可以关掉, mute all. Eric, you are muted. Sorry. Yes, so can you repeat? Yeah.
Yes. The Jew is expected to look for signs.
所以犹太人一直在寻找神迹。
Because he had the Old Testament scriptures that prophesied that when Messiah would come, there would be various signs that he would do.
因为有旧约的预言呢, 来预告, 如果有, Messiah 要来呢, 他会行一系列的神迹。
Now, also turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 again.
再来哥林多前书14章。
And verse 22. After quoting an Old Testament prophecy, Paul says to them, therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers.
然后讲完旧约的一个引用的经文之后，从二十一到二十二的时候，二十二节，这样看来，说方言不是为信的人做证据，乃是为不信的人。Now
that's another falsehood of this modern tongues movement, is that they make it a sign to believers that you have the Holy Spirit or are filled with the Holy Spirit.
所以这也是近代这所谓方言运动的一个谬误。 之一啊，他常常是告诉一个信徒，要给信徒有方言做证据，证明他得着更多的圣灵啊，这个也没有圣经的依据的。So,
go back to Mark now, Mark chapter 16.
对，回到马可。And
we'll see there the purpose for those signs.
我们来看这些神迹的目的。马可福音16章的19节。
So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And notice this, please. Confirming the word through the accompanying signs.
马可福音16章的19节和20节就告诉我们，这个神迹的原因和目的是什么？主耶稣和他们说完了话，后来被接到天上，坐在神的右边，门徒出去到处宣传福音，主和他们同工。注意这以下面的这一段，用神迹随着证实所传的道。阿门。这是目的。
So once the word was confirmed, the sign would not be any, would be needed anymore.
如果神的道已经被证实了之后, 神迹就已经没有意义了。
And that's what we find in the history of the church, that after the first century, tongues had already died out by the end of the first century.
所以这也是为什么我们在教会历史上很清楚地看见是方言这个现象，或者说方言这个恩赐呢，在第一世纪的初代教会之后慢慢就已经没了。
You remember,
初世纪之后就没了。
You remember that Moses, when he was commissioned by the Lord to go to the elders of Israel and tell them that the Lord was going to deliver them. Well, he said, well, what if they don't believe me? And the Lord said, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he threw it down on the ground and there were signs that he was given to confirm Moses' word to the elders of Israel.
你们记得摩西啊，要被神差了去带领以色列人的时候，摩西跟神说，那如果他们不相信我怎么办？神说，那你手上是什么？摩西说是杖。啊，他说你把杖丢在地上，这杖就变成了蛇。这些的神迹为的是证明这个传话人的身份的。
So that sign of tongues was, and the other sign gifts were to confirm the word of God through the disciples.
无论是方言的神迹还是其他的神迹，都是为了证明神的话，借着门徒以及后来的圣徒们传的话是真的。
And if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12,
哥林多后书十二章
and verse 12,
十二节，林后十二章十二节。
He said, truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished, in the past tense there, were accomplished among you with all perseverance,in signs and wonders and mighty deeds.
十二节，我在你们中间用百般的忍耐，借着神迹、奇事、异能，显出使徒的凭据来。这个显出是原文是过去的时态，就已经是发生过的。
So that's the first purpose of the sign gifts, and we're going to look at another one now.And that is, it's also a sign of a reversal of a judgment that happened way back after the flood, and the Tower of Babel, when they began to build the Tower of Babel.
那这里呢，首先是它是一个神迹来证明啊。神的话是真的。其次呢，它是一个反过来的，它是个目的。第二个目的呢，它是一个把神在巴别塔对人的一个审判呢，重新挽回的这么一个目的。
God had told the people that were populating the land to scatter over all the earth and populate the earth.
你都记得在挪亚方舟之后啊。神呢，在巴别塔的时候，要使人分散在遍地居住，全地居住。
But under Nimrod, they gathered together to build them a city and make themselves a name.
宁禄呢，就是想要建一座名，一座城啊，用他的名来命名。
So God confounded their languages.
所以就在建那座城、那座塔的时候呢，神就变乱了人们的语言。
And the different families couldn't understand each other, and then they scattered all over the world.
那这样的一家一家呢，彼此都不能听懂对方说的话，以至于他们就只能分散了。
On the day of Pentecost, however, there was a sign given. It was tongues, and it showed a reversal of that judgment at Babel.
所以这样变乱语言呢，是神对人悖逆的一个审判，在。在那个五旬节的时候呢，神又把方言赐下呢，把这个语言变乱的审判呢，就扭转过来了。
It was a sign that the gift of the Holy Spirit by grace would be given to all mankind through faith, and that they would be unified in the new head, the exalted head, the Lord Jesus Christ.
所以圣灵赐给每一个信的人，以至于呢，所有人能够在圣灵里合而为一呀、啊，都成为基督的身体。就原来是分散的，现在开始在圣灵里又合一。
So no longer did God speak just to the Jew, but now it was a sign that he was speaking to a universal Jew and Gentile, a universal group of people, everyone.
所以他不但跟犹太人说话，而是跟全地所有的人，包括外邦人，全球的人都能说话了。
Now let's take a look at the places where in the scripture where tongues are mentioned.
好，我们再来看一系列的经文，圣经里提到方言的。
You would expect that the book of Acts would be full of the gift of tongues.
也许你会认为呢，使徒行传里应该满的都是方言，是不是呢？
A lot of people put so much importance on it today, you'd think it would be on every page.Of the scripture.
因为今天很多人把方言放到如此高的高度，是不是你按照这个高度，你就应该想到《使徒行传》应该每一章都会讲到方言吗？每一页。
But the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, the tongues are only mentioned on three occasions.
但是《使徒行传》里呢，方言只提到了三次。
Acts chapter 2.
使徒行传二章。
Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 19.
使徒行传二章、十章和十九章一共只提了三次。
Acts chapter 2 verse 4, we read, I think we have read that.
使徒行传的二章四节我们刚才读到了。
They were all filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
他们圣灵充满之后呢，就按圣灵所赐的口才说起别国的话，也就是方言。
And then in verse 11 too.
十一节也是啊。
Cretans and Arabs, we heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.
克里特和阿拉伯人都听见他们用我们的乡谈讲说神的大作为。
And so the tongues were given, as well to glorify God.
所以圣方言呢被给赐下呢是为了荣耀神的名的。
So there was at least 11 different languages that day, maybe more, we're not sure that were spoken.
那里呢一共有十一个啊，我刚才说错了，是十一个不是十八个。十一个不同的语言或者更多在那一天。
So that was a sign to Israel.
这个是给犹太人的一个神迹。
Then in chapter 10, verse 46.
第十章四十六节。使徒行传。
And there we read that those of the circumcision who believed,were astonished as many as came with Peter because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also.
那四十五节说呢，那些奉哥礼和彼得同来的信徒，见圣灵的恩赐也浇在外邦人身上，就都稀奇。
And for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God.
因听见他们说方言，称赞神为大。
Now it was a sign to the Jews that were there, they didn't believe that the Gentiles would be included, but when they heard them speak with tongues, they realized that the same thing had happened to them on the day of Pentecost.
这里是也是给在场的犹太人做证据，因为犹太人不相信呢，神的圣灵的恩赐啊，会给到外邦人，所以当他看见这一次哥尼流家发生的事情以后，他们就相信。外邦人也一并在五旬节受了圣灵的洗。
And in chapter 11, verse 15, when Peter is explaining this to the apostles in Jerusalem, he says in verse 15, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning.
使徒行传11章15节说呢，我一开讲这是彼得把在哥尼流家的事情讲给犹太人听，没有在场的犹太人听的时候，他说圣灵便降在他们身上，正像当初降在我们身上一样。
So the Gentiles then were included in the body of Christ. The demonstration was the sign of the speaking of tongues, which confirmed that there was no difference between the Jew and the Gentile.
所以这里外邦人身上得着方言的恩赐，就证明神对待教会里的犹太人和外邦人是没有差别的。
And again in Acts chapter 19 and verse 6.
再下一处呢，十九章使徒行传19章6节。
And there we find a group of basically Old Testament believers. They heard the last prophet, John the Baptist. They were waiting for the Messiah, but they hadn't heard that he had come or that he had died. They hadn't even heard about the Holy Spirit.
这是一群旧约的，遵照旧约的律法要求生活的人。他们呢，在等候他们的弥赛亚，他们也没有听到福音，也没有听到圣灵的真理啊，是这么样一群人。
And it says in verse 6, when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all.
第六节，保罗按手在他们头上，圣灵便降在他们身上，他们就说方言，又说预言，一共有12个人。
So now, these three times where the tongues come, there was a new departure, a new group was included. And so there had to be a sign given to them that they would be included in the body of Christ.
你注意了吗？这三个例子都很特别，他在讲每一次呢，都有一群新的群体进到了教会里，而这每一次的新的群体，第一次犹太人，第二次外邦人，第三次是旧约的这些信徒们，那他们每一次进去呢，是需要有一个证据来。
Now, in none of those cases did they seek the gift.
那没有任何一次例子里呢，他们寻求了圣灵的恩赐。
And also, they all received the gift, not just a few.
也同时呢，他们也不是某一两个人，而是全部的人都接受了这个。
We don't read of any special spiritual stature or any that they were a man of great attainment or anything. It was all they believed, and God sovereignly gave them the Holy Spirit as a sign to the Jew.
我们没有看见任何的讲到，哎，谁的属灵生命更好一点，他有一些更大的属灵成就。 都没有，而是每一个在当时在场的信的人，那群新加进来信的，神就把圣灵和这个圣灵的恩赐方言显明在他们身上，以给呢在场看见的犹太人做一个证据。There's
no mention either of a second baptism.
同时呢，也没有提到任何关于再受。
Now, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll leave. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
我们翻到哥林多前书十二章。
And verse 11.
十一节。
Nowhere does it say in Scripture that we should ask for the Holy Spirit.
圣经没有任何一个地方让我们去求，去寻求圣灵。
That is the person of the Holy Spirit.
就是指有位格的那位圣灵。
We may pray to be filled with His power as we yield ourselves, but we nowhere in Scripture does anyone pray that they might receive the Holy Spirit.
我们可以祈求圣灵的能力，也可以祈求我们让我们自己更多的降服在圣灵的权柄下，但是圣经没有一个地方让我们去寻求圣灵。
Now notice in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11. Before that, he gives a list of the various gifts. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will.
所以我们看哥林多前书的十二章十一节，在这一节之前呢，圣经里面列举了各种各样的恩赐，然后在十一节里面说，这一切都是这位圣灵所运行，随己意分给个人的，就是按照圣灵自己的意思分的。
So if he wants to distribute a gift of the tongues, it's according to the will of the Spirit, not our will.
所以他要赐下这个方言这个恩赐呢，也是按照圣灵的意思，按照他的目的去分配的，而不是按照我们的旨意去求来的。
Then in verse 18 he says, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased.
18节也是这样讲的，他说，但如今神随自己的意思把肢体俱各安排在身上了。
So God distributes the gifts and also each one of us in the body, he is sovereign and his plan being worked out in the body, each one plays its part, but we don't choose what our particular gift is.
所以你看神不管他是在分配恩赐还是把我们每个人安排在具体的这个肢体身上的这个位置上，都是按照神的意思的，是不能随我们自己选择的，是他给我们一个能恩赐，给我们一个位置，然后把我们放在一个最合适的地方。
Now those that teach that you should receive the gift of tongues as proof that you have the Holy Spirit, look at verse 28.
那些教导说你要去寻求圣灵的方言方言的恩赐来证明你是被圣灵充满的话，要看二十八节。
It's God who has appointed, in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and lastly, various tongues. And then he goes on. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? The answer is no.
所以你看28节他说神在教会所设立的，首先看这是神设立的，第一是使徒，第二是先知，第三是教师，其次是行异能的，再次是得恩赐治病的，帮助人的，治理事的，说方言的是放在最后的。而且他接着说，岂都是使徒吗？岂都是先知吗？岂都是教师吗？岂都是行异能的吗？岂都是得恩赐医病的吗？岂都是说方言的吗？岂都是翻方言的吗？答案肯定是不是。
Those that would teach that you should have the gift of tongues, they are not scriptural in their insistence.
所以那些教导说每个基督徒都要去寻求说方言的恩赐的话， 他们这个教导是和圣经是不符合的，不吻合的。
Now in Corinth, the gift of tongues was misused.
嗯，而且在哥林多教会，这方言的恩赐呢，也被他们误用了。
And it's interesting that, the apostle Peter and John, they spoke with tongues on the day of Pentecost.
嗯，有趣的是，就是彼得和约翰他们这些门徒呢，在五旬节的时候都说方言。
Peter wrote two epistles.
嗯，彼得写了两封书信。
And he mentions life in the Spirit a number of times and growth in the Spirit.
嗯，他在两封书信里多次提到属灵的生命，在灵里面成长这些概念。
But not once does he mention tongues.
但他一次也没有提到过方言。
John wrote a gospel, three letters in the book of Revelation, and much of the Spirit is in his writings. But he never once mentions the gift of tongues.
那约翰呢，他是从约翰一书开始，一直到启示录，他写了四卷书，但他多在四卷书里面多次提到圣灵，但他一次也没有提到过方言。
James and Jude, they were brothers of the Lord, brothers in the flesh. They don't mention speaking in tongues.
嗯，那写雅各书的雅各和写犹大书的犹大，他们都是主耶稣肉身的兄弟，他们也从来没有提到，在他们的书信里也没提到说方言的事儿。
Paul, the great apostle, if he wrote the book of Hebrews, wrote 14 books.
保罗如果把希伯来书的作者也算成保罗的话呢，他一共写了14卷书信。
And to him it was given to explain the doctrine of the gospel, the doctrine of the second coming of Christ, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and only in one book does he mention the gift of tongues.
保罗在这些书信里面提到福音的教义，提到主再来的教义，提到圣灵的教义，但是他只在一卷书里面讲到了说方言的事儿。
And there, in that place, that's this First Corinthians, and there is three chapters, 12, 13, and 14, and there he has to correct their misuse of the gift of tongues.
嗯，就是我们现在正在读的这个哥林多前书的三章里面，十二、十三、十四章，这里面呢，它的目的呢是要纠正哥林多教会的这些圣徒们滥用方言的这个现象。
So now the gift of tongues, there are three tests for the gift of tongues. First of all, they are for a sign. We looked at that, and we've already discussed that first point.
所以要测试这个方言的恩赐呢，有三种方法。第一个我们已经提到了，首先呢，它是一个神迹。
And the second thing is that tongues were to communicate.
嗯，第二个测试的那个要点呢，就是它一定是一种能交流的语言。
The word for tongue and for language is in the Greek, it's the same word.
嗯，在希腊文里面呢，这个方言和语言是一个词。
And so we could we in English it's the same. I'm not sure about Chinese.
嗯，在英语里面也是一样的。他不知道在英在中文里面是不是 ？No, they are two different words.
They're two different words. Okay. So the idea there though is that It's communication. The purpose of language is communication.
但是语言的目的呢，就是为了交通，为了交流。
Unless you can understand a communication, it's absolutely useless.
如果它不能起到交通的作用呢，它就是完全无用的。
Now, what they were doing in Corinth they were speaking, they had the gift of tongues. They were speaking actual languages. They weren't speaking gibberish, some type of, well, I've heard it, let me start over here. Modern tongues has been analyzed by linguists, and they say that it's not related to any known language, nor is it a language, but there are various syllables that are repeated over and over and continued on, that it is not a language, that the source comes from somewhere else, not from the mind, not from the conscious mind.
好，艾瑞克说，我这么说吧，就是现在的这个方言运动的这些人呢，他说的那个方言呢，语言学家进行过分析，他们找不到就他们说的这些声音啊，有任何的这个人类语言的根基，它都是一些重复的音节，不断的这样的重复，没有意义，完全不能它不符合语言的一种语言的特点，然后它也它的来源呢，不是从人的语言出来的，是从别的地方出来的。
The modern tongues movement. And the tongues that are used or the syllables that are repeated, they may have their source psychologically. It may be even demonic.
就是他们这个不断重复的这个声音呢，不是从人的理智里面出来的。他们可能是一种心理的作用。或者是甚至来自邪灵的。
So, therefore, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 6.
我们翻到哥林多前书的14章的6节。
Again, what was practiced in Corinth was real languages. That word for tongue,is always used of a real known language.
但是呢，在哥林多教会里面，这些信徒们所说的这个方言是真实的语言，是一种当时知道的语言。
So he says in verse 6, Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, or by teaching?
说弟兄们，我到你们那里去，若只说方言，不用启示，或知识，或预言，或教训，给你们讲解，我与你们有什么益处呢？
So, what he's saying there is, when I speak in tongues, it should be a revelation coming from the tongue, or some knowledge coming from the tongue, or some prophesying, or a teaching. That would come from the tongue, a known language.
保罗说，如果我说方言或就是一种已知的语言的话，如果这个方言呢不能带出启示，不能带出知识，不能带出教训讲解，那对你们有什么用呢？
But if they don't understand the language that the person who is speaking in tongues is speaking, there will be no profit to them at all.
就如果那个听众听不懂这个说方言的人说的这种语言的话，对这些听众就毫无益处。
So that's the second test is, does it communicate anything?
所以检测一个方言是不是真的方言的话，第二点就是要看它是不是能用来交流。
The first is a sign, is it a sign that the Holy Spirit has comeOn a group of believers, a new departure?
所以我们刚才讲过，第一个检测的要点呢，就是它是一个神迹，是圣灵为了证明要有一群新的人加入到神的肢体，基督的身体，就是教会里面来的时候显明出来，给人做证据的。
is it the second thing, is it communicating some truth?
所以第二个检测的证据呢, 就是它是不是能够用来传递, 交流一些真理?
The third test is, does it edify the church?
第三个检测标准呢是对教会是不是有益处?
Does it build up the body?
能不能建造这个肢体?
See, a lot of modern tongues, it's a very selfish thing. It's for your own feeling somehow.
但现在方言运动里面所让人说的方言呢，就是非常自私的目的，就是让你觉得自己感觉好一些。
Look at chapter 14 and verse 20.
我们看哥林多前书的14章20节。
Brethren, do not be children in understanding. They were immature in their understanding and use of the gift of tongues.
他说弟兄们在心智上不要做小孩子，这些哥林多教会的信徒呢，他们在属灵上是不成熟的，他们也不知道怎么样合适的使用这属灵的恩赐。
And then verse 26.
26节。
He says here, this is the second test. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification.
他说弟兄们，这却怎么样呢？你们聚会的时候，个人或有诗歌，或有教训，或有启示，或有方言，或有翻出来的话，凡事都当造就人。
So they failed those first three tests because it wasn't done for edification. It was done for self.
所以在这里面就看出哥林多教会的信徒呢，他们没有满足第三个条件，就是他们没有用来造就人，都是为了他们自己。
Now, I mentioned earlier that the tongues were a temporary gift.
我前面提过，这个方言呢，方言的恩赐是一个暂时的恩赐，是一个短暂的恩赐。
As were the other sign gifts.
就跟其他的能够行神迹的那些恩赐是一样的。
Once a sign has served its purpose, it is no longer of any value.
当这些用来行神迹的恩赐完成了他们的目的以后呢，他们就 没有用了，没有价值了。
What Paul does now, in between chapter 12 and chapter 14, there is this lovely chapter 13.
保罗在这里呢，在12章和14章中间呢，有一章就是我们特别特别喜欢的第13章。
A lot of people don't realize what that chapter really means.
很多人不明白这第13章到底是什么意思。
I've heard it quoted at weddings and funerals and all sorts of things. But what is that chapter there for?
很多人呢，我听到很多人都在婚礼上啊，或者是追思礼拜上啊，引用这里的经文，还有其他各种其他的场合。其实很多人都不明白这一章写在这里到底是什么意思。
We have the introduction in chapter 12.
我们在12章呢，是一个前面的介绍。
Notice verse 29.
看29节。
He says, are all apostles, all prophets, all teachers, all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? There's the question. There's a list of gifts, most of which are gifts that are temporary. But, he says, earnestly desire the best gifts, but, he says, and I show you a more excellent way. That's the introduction to chapter 13.
我们再看这个哥林多前书的12章的29节一直到31节，这个是13章的前面的一个引子。他说，岂都是使徒吗？岂都是先知吗？岂都是教师吗？岂都是行异能的吗？岂都是得恩赐医病的吗？岂都是说方言的吗？岂都是翻方言的吗？这一串的反问呢，都是在相当于列举各种的恩赐。但31节呢，他说你们要切切的求那更大的恩赐，然后他说我现今要把最妙的道指示我们，然后就引出了第13章。
The more excellent way is that the motive for using any of these gifts is to be motivated by love.
所以他想说的意思呢，就是我们使用这些恩赐的动机啊，是要在爱的力量的推动之下的，驱动之下的。
There is in chapter 13, verse 1.He says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal, meaning nothing.
所以他十三章一节里面说，我若能说万人的方言并天使的话语却没有爱，我就成了鸣的锣响的钹一般。
Now the tongue of angels, some have said that they speak an angelic language. You'd have to ask the angels, I'm not sure.What the angels, what language they speak. When they speak in scripture, it's always in human language. They always use a known language.
你看在圣经里所有讲到天使当跟人交流的时候，他并不是用他们在天上的那个天使的话来跟人说的。如果那样的话呢，人就完全不能明白他在说什么。天使都是用人能够听懂的地上的话跟人交流的。
Paul is using a literary device called, in English, hyperbole, which is an exaggeration taken, even if I could speak the language of angels and had that gift, but I didn't have any love, it would be nothing.
所以在这里保罗呢是用了一种夸张的修辞的方法来表明他的意思，就是即使他能说天使的语言，天使的话语却没有爱，那也就是一点用都没有了。
And then he goes on in verse 2, he said, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have no love, I'm nothing.
然后他接着说在第二节里面，我若有先知讲道之能，也明白各样的奥秘，各样的知识，并且有全备的信，叫我能够移山，却没有爱，我就算不得什么。
And then he says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing.
我若将所有的周济穷人，又舍己身叫人焚烧，却没有爱，仍然与我无益。
And then there's this beautiful description down to verses 4-7.And we have a beautiful description of love.
然后从第四节到第七节就是非常美丽的描写爱的这几句经文了。
And so he's given us, he's speaking of the unfailing and permanent love of God. The gifts are temporary, but love is permanent.
恩赐呢是暂时的，但是爱是永恒的。他这里面描写的就是从神来的那种恒久的爱。
So, Paul says, put the emphasis not on temporary sign gifts, but on the love of God, which is permanent.
所以保罗在这里呢，就劝告哥林多教会的人呢，不要把你们的注意力把你们的重点放在那些短暂的能行神迹的恩赐上，而是要放在那恒久的永恒的神的爱上。
And when these temporary sign gifts have served their purpose, then they are just going to vanish away.
当这些短暂的能行神迹的恩赐完成了他们的使命以后呢，他们就渐渐的消失了。
Look at verses 8,
看第八节。
Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away.
爱是永不止息， 但是先知讲道之能终必归于无有，说方言之能终必停止，知识也终必归于无有。
And when we read about prophecies failing, it doesn't mean to say that they're not good prophecies. It's that they will fail to be needed any longer.
他这里说先知讲道之能终必归于无有，不是说我们以后再没有好的讲道了，而是说这个作为先知的这个职能是不再需要了。
The tongues, it says, will cease.
然后他说方言之能终必停止。
And then when there is knowledge, it will vanish away.
知识也必也终必归于无有。
And he says, for we know in part, that's verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part.
第九节他说我们现在所知道的有限，先知所讲的也有限。
That is at the time that the Corinthians were, at the time of the Corinthians, God had not revealed everything in the scriptures yet.
就是在哥林多教会的所处的时代呢，圣经就圣灵还没有把圣经所有的内容都启示出来。
This book, First Corinthians, was one of the first of the epistles to be written.
哥林多前书呢是完成书，就是完成日期比较早的一卷书。
It was at a time when there was very little, the book of Romans hadn't been written yet. The book of Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and, hadn't been written yet.
那个时候甚至连罗马书、以弗所书、哥罗西书、腓立比书都没有写呢。
Some of the Gospels hadn't been written yet.
有些福音书都还没写完。
And so they only knew in part.
所以他们说所知道的有限。
So there was a necessity, it was needed, you needed prophets to be able to speak the truth to the people, the actual need of the moment, to supply the need, to edify them.
所以那个时候还需要有先知这个职分，就先知这个恩赐呢，把当时人所需要的属灵的东西赐给他们，讲给他们听。
Then in verse 10, he says, when it's going to cease, when will prophecy fail? When will tongues cease? When will knowledge, that is, supernatural knowledge, vanish away?
他说 等那完全的来的，这个是什么时候呢？就是指先知讲道之能归于无有，方言停止，知识，这个知识指那属灵的知识。都归于无有的时候。
But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away.
等那完全的来到，这有限的必归于无有了。
What is that which is perfect?
这里面说的那完全的是指什么呢？
Well, it's not the Lord's coming.
这不是指主再来啊，不是指主第二次再来。
The Lord's coming, this is a neutral, pronoun when that which is perfect, it's neutral. If referring to the Lord, it wouldn't be neutral at all.
这个里面这个完全呢这个词在原文里面希腊文里面呢它那个代词呢是中性的词性。如果是指主再来呢这个词性绝对不是中性的。
Remember what we first read at the very beginning about the purpose of the signs?
还记得我们一开始讲到就是神迹的目的是什么吗？
It was to confirm the word, was it not?
就是为了证实所传的道，不是吗？
Once all of scripture had been given, there was no more need for signs.
等到圣经全部形成的时候，就再也不需要神迹了。
And history records that the tongues ceased.
历史也记载 这个按照历史记载，这个方言也的确是消失了。
And I was reading a statement by Chrysostom, who was a writer, Christian writer, writing 300 years after Christ.
有一个基督徒的历史学家，他是在主后300多年的时候生活的，他是这么写的。
And 300 years after Christ, he did not know what these tongues were.
他那个时候他已经不知道方言是什么了。
There was no evidence of it during his days.
在他所处的那个时代已经没有方言这个迹象了。
The modern tongues movement is not the same as the gift of tongues that we have in the scriptures.
在现代方言运动里面，他们说的这个方言和圣经里面在初代教会里面说的这个方言的恩赐不是一回事。
So the question that we started with, is the gift of tongues evidence that of a spirit-filled life?
所以我们一开始就提了这样一个问题，就是说方言真的是圣灵充满的一个证据吗？
I say categorically no.
所以我要确定的说肯定不是。
Not from scripture.
不是从圣经里来的。
But next week what we'd like to look at is the real evidence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer.
下星期呢我们要讲圣灵充满真正的证据。在 生命中的证据是怎么样的？
And scripture has a lot to say about that.
圣经关于这方面可讲了好多。
And so we'll be looking at that next week. Delightful study on the evidences of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer.
我们下星期的学习一定是非常令人愉快的学习，我们要看这圣灵充满的生命的一些证据是怎样的。
Do we have any questions then?
我们现在有没有什么问题？
Well, Mr. Summers, could you please give us a benediction or a word and close us in prayer?
我们先请Harold 给我们祝福，也带我们祷告。
Very good. Again, I just want on behalf of the others of you in the audience, I want to thank Eric for his study and his presentation. It has been very helpful.
我要代表在座的所有人啊，感谢 Eric 他的这个研经的成果以及跟我们今天的教导。
So let us pray now.
我们现在一起祷告。
Lord, we want to thank you for the truth of God.
主，我们要为神的真理感谢你。
It is true, Lord, that sometimes we find the truth of God confusing.
这的确是真实的。有时候我们会觉得神的真理会让我们有一些困惑。
And many of us acknowledge that there is much confusion in the world, in the Christian, professing Christian church, confusion regarding the gift of tongues.
特别是关于这方言的恩赐呢，在世界上，包括一些所谓自称是基督徒的组织里面，有很多的困惑搅扰我们。
And so, Lord, our objective is to make sure that we understand the truth of tongues, not from the point of view of man or experience. We want to understand it as the Bible makes it clear and plain.
我们想做的就是，我们想要按照圣经清清楚楚的教导的这个角度来理解方言的恩赐的，关于方言恩赐的真理，而不是按照人的给我们提供的观点去理解。
Lord, our objective is to be led by the Spirit of God and to be filled by the Spirit of God. So our prayer is that the Spirit will give us wisdom and understanding so that we do not misunderstand the Spirit of God.
我们的目标呢，是能够被圣灵带领，并能够让圣灵充满我们。 所以我们祈求圣灵能够帮助我们去明白这关于方言的一些真理。
And we acknowledge, Lord, that there are many who are very confused on this point and practice that which is not according to the Spirit of God, and we pray for each of them.
我们也知道有很多人呢在这方面都很糊涂，也做过一些关于这方面很糊涂的一些去实践，我们为他们向您祈求。
Deliver us, we pray, from confusion and bad practice on this subject.
带领我们能够远离这些令人迷惑的教导和这些错误的做法。
And deliver the other Christians that we know who are confused, Lord. Help us not only to explain the truth to them, but we pray that you will deliver them from the confusion and practice.
还有一些我们认识的基督徒可能也还在处在这样的糊涂的状态当中，盼望您能够帮助我们能够把真理讲给他们听，也带领他们一起走出这样的困惑。
Lord, the fact is we want to do God's work, God's way.
主啊，我们是想要按照神的方式做神的工。
And so help us each one as we attempt to do that.
当我们想做神的工的时候，主啊，求你这样的帮助我们每一个人。
So thanks for helping us tonight, and we commit one another to thee for the week ahead.
主啊，谢谢您今天晚上帮助我们，我们也把每一个人都的剩下的一周的时间都交在您的手里。
And we pray that you'll bring us back together again next week that we might learn more about the Spirit of God.
主啊，也祈求你下一周同一时间把我们都带回来，让我们学习更多关于圣灵的真理。
And we give thanks now in Jesus' name.
我们这样的感恩是奉耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Eric.